Welcome to Cannabis Connection World Podcast, where cannabis connectors meet and discuss the gospel truth of cannabis, the plant connecting the planet.
Welcome to episode 12 of Cannabis Connection World. On this episode in cannabis class, you will learn about the newest city in Georgia to decriminalize less than an ounce of cannabis. Then you will hear my interview with Brandon Terrell. He is the founder of Trehab, Inc., a technology company for the cannabis industry intended to connect patients to physicians, dispensaries, brands, and products via web and mobile applications. And the Cannabis Connection calendar is back again to let you know what's going on in our world. So sit back and relax as I serve you this cannabis content rolled up perfectly for your consumption.
Cannabis class.
I want to be sure to keep you all updated on what is happening in our home state of Georgia. Georgia is not one of the 26 states in the country that allow their citizens to vote for a law called a referendum state. This means we have to wait for our legislators to determine our laws. If we want real change in this state, we have to do a better job of vetting the legislators we elect into office. There have been two bills just this last session, one from the Senate and one from the House, that had language to decriminalize less than an ounce of marijuana statewide, changing it from an arrestable crime to a ticketed one, and declassifying it to a misdemeanor and not a felony. Since 2016, three other cities and towns have decriminalized personal possession. Clarkston was the first, Atlanta was next, Savannah happened earlier this month, and South Fulton passed on Tuesday. The city council members voted 5-3 to pass the proposal that would decriminalize the plant within the new city. The legislation, sponsored by Mayor Pro Tem Mark Baker, does not legalize marijuana use. He wants to make that very clear. Rather, it would only subject those found with less than an ounce to a $150 maximum fine. In his proposal, Baker said enforcement of the law prohibiting marijuana, and I quote, has been inequitable and has fallen disproportionately on certain subsets of the population, end quote. Meaning, obviously, the arrests are affecting people of color more than any other race or community or group in Atlanta and the surrounding areas. Officials say half the money collected in fines would go to alcohol and drug rehabilitation and prevention programs meant to benefit city residents, is what they say. It is time that our legislators pass a statewide bill. This puts less nonviolent criminals in prison, but we all know that the prison system is private in Georgia, which means they are a business. The New Age Plantation is what I call it. They get hired by corporations because their labor is cheap. We have a lot of challenges to face here in Georgia on our journey to legalization. Big pharma, the prison system, religious zealot extremists, and let's not forget our biggest challenge, ignorance. Watching the kids and young adults this weekend marching for their lives really inspired me. They are the next generation of leaders and policymakers and voters, and they are determined to eradicate the problem of mass shootings all over this country by taking away the root cause of the problem, the guns, versus their adversaries, adults who have been trying to get it done and have not been successful. Let's try a new way. But the ones that are against this new generation, they want to fill our streets, and they think that the solution to their this problem, the problem of mass shootings all over this country, is to increase the amount of guns into our society. I'm so proud of these young people. Their voices and their votes will matter in this next election. Then when the rest of them turn 18 within the next 5 years, they will be well on their way to living in a country where they feel safe. I want to live in a country where I can be healthy and safe. Cannabis saved my life, and it continues to save countless others. And that is why I am doing all I can to ensure we stay educated, register to vote, and getting people to the polls. It is time for a change, and we the people have the power to do that. That's enough for today. Next episode, we will learn the fate of House Bill 764. It sits in the Senate, and the legislative session ends on the 30th. This bill will allow PTSD and chronic pain to be added to the list of diseases that can legally possess cannabis oil for treatment. Up next, I speak with Brandon Terrell about his business, Trehab, Inc., an ancillary business of the cannabis industry.
let's introduce you to our listeners, and please tell us, who you are and a little bit about your business.
Okay, great. Well, my name is Brandon Terrell. I am the founder and CEO of TreeHab. And TreeHab is a platform for medicinal cannabis patients to connect with doctors and also products to support their ailment. TreeHab, we mainly work in emerging markets, states that have recently legalized cannabis for medicinal use, states like Georgia, Florida, Maryland, and just a host of other states that are now coming online. I'm originally from Alabama. I went to school at Alabama A&M, where I got a degree in marketing. And I've tried to apply, you know, those skills and my knowledge from corporate America to the rapidly expanding cannabis industry. And it's been pretty good so far, getting a lot of traction.
Good. That's great. Was it always your plan to be in the cannabis industry when you went to business school down in Alabama?
No. Initially, you know, of course, wanting the high-level corporate opportunities, I was fortunate enough to, you know, get some very great experience in a corporate role. I actually worked at NASCAR Technical Institute in North Carolina for a number of years. But was let go from that back in 2014. I jumped into entrepreneurship. I know a lot of times people hear, you know, the term entrepreneur and think, you know, what is, do you own or, you know, what have you. But I, you know, really believe that an entrepreneur is a person who seeks the opportunities, you know, that best support, you know, whatever stage they're at in their life. And for me, you know, I've always sought opportunities to, you know, really apply technology to some really interesting problems. So I began in 2015 with an accelerator program that really gave me an opportunity to see what it's like to be involved with a startup. I also worked for a startup in 2016. And I just noticed how quickly the cannabis industry was growing. Several states legalized medicinal and recreational use in 2016. And I was looking for what opportunities would, you know, put me in a position to, you know, really be a part of something fast growing. And just statistically, it was the cannabis industry. Just the compound annual growth year over year was, you know, it had never been seen before. So that really intrigued me, you know, from a revenue perspective, you know, the potential there. And over the past year, you know, since I've been working at TreeHab, I really developed a passion for the plant. And definitely see the benefits of it from a medicinal standpoint.
Okay, that leads me to my next question. Are you yourself a cannabis user?
Not as much as I would like to, I say that because, you know, I often travel to states that, you know, have legalized recreational use, and, you know, there are products that don't always contain THC that, you know, I am very proud to, you know, associate with in terms of, you know, the health benefits that they provide. You know, most people who have the stigma and we understand about marijuana is that it has, you know, no real benefit. But CBD is a portion of the plant that, you know, just has some really awesome benefits, you know, extremely anti-inflammatory. Just being conscious about, you know, the products that I consume. I tend to, you know, only support specific brands when I'm in specific markets. And, you know, the fact that I know a lot of people have access to marijuana, but oftentimes when you're, you know, buying and purchasing and receiving products from outside of, you know, a, you know, dispensary or, you know, some governed entity that's, you know, being held accountable for the product, it's just not a lot of accountability, in the black market, so to speak. Which is why I think we've had just such a tremendous, you know, outpour of support, for legalization. I think it is very important, first and foremost, you know, to legalize so that people, you know, will have accountability, about, you know, what they're using, and also to give patients access to, you know, the medication that they so desperately seek.
You're absolutely right. It's why I do what I do as an advocate, and a journalist, is trying to get people access to the medication that they really need. Grateful to you for starting this space. How did you even come up with TreeHab? How did you come up with that name? It's an interesting name.
You know, the name just, you know, I remember where I was and what I was doing when it hit me, but, you know, right at the top of 2017, I spent some time in California, you know, went to Colorado, spoke with a bunch of doctors, and, you know, their main challenge was marketing. You know, a lot of them had trouble finding patients and, you know, with the new way that patients are approaching alternative medication, it was really hard to find quality content. So, you know, I decided that, you know, from a medical perspective, the way that I had researched the plant and its rehabilitative benefit, you know, it just kind of came together, thing people call weed tree and, you know, rehab, so to speak. So kind of came together. I ran it by a few people and, you know, everybody was really high on it. So it just stuck. You know, but my journey began with where I could, you know, start a business and just kind of capitalize on, you know, a big need and a small market. And here in Georgia, you know, there's this disparaging, you know, scenario where, you know, patients can get access to a recommendation, which is a card to legally possess cannabis oil. However, they have no, you know, dispensing mechanism to buy it. Which creates this huge problem. And, you know, I looked at ways that would allow us to, you know, play the medical cannabis industry and give investors an opportunity to, you know, buy shares and not have a concern on whether or not, you know, from a legal perspective, the laws would either, you know, be rescheduled or descheduled. In the way that it's set today, my focus is medicinal strictly because we feel as if it's going to be more consistent longer. You know, just going kind of in a separate direction here, the reason why, you know, medicinal cannabis is more prevalent simply for the fact that, patients save money by buying medicinal marijuana versus recreational because of a sales tax. So our encouragement is to introduce as many people to medicinal cannabis as we can. Because if you are a patient, legally you can possess up to a certain amount, and on the recreational side, you can't necessarily do that.
Mm. It's interesting. I was not aware of those laws that exist, I guess, in places like Washington State and California regarding recreational and medicinal. I've been focusing so hard on Georgia. But something interesting I want to share with you is what Dr. Uma Dhanabalan said in an interview that I did with her a couple weeks ago. She feels like the label recreational marijuana is based in racism, because she believes that the plant should be used by everyone. According to our endocannabinoid system, it is something that in nature that our bodies actually need. And so the thought of recreational versus medicinal, she feels, is rooted in basic racism that this country, the whole reason that it was outlawed in the first place. I think that's an interesting theory as well. I feel like, you know, for somebody like you, you say you don't need it medicinally. You might occasionally want to use it recreationally. It's the same way you might want a glass of wine or a gin and tonic. It gives the same effect of euphoria, right? It's just a shame that it's so taboo to want to smoke a joint versus wanting to have a glass of wine when it has the same effects. Do you agree?
Yeah. I think a person's attachment to the plant, you know, oftentimes leads to their, you know, view or outlook of the industry. I do agree that from my studies of the plant, just the history of, you know, marijuana, it was outlawed, and we've been taught that, you know, there's just a very negative stigma around, you know, the plant, the people who use it. And historically, you know, in the early stages of, you know, America and, you know, how the country was, you know, raised from a legal perspective, it was just always something that was looked at as, you know, just a really bad thing. And I think as, you know, time has gone on, you've seen research, and now, you know, studies are showing, you know, the adverse effects of the things that we've been, you know, brought to believe. You know, so I definitely agree that, you know, there is this bias, and I'm happy to see that changing, since I've, you know, been forthcoming with, you know, my interest in the space. I've just had so many people come to me, and, the term within the industry is like, come out of the green closet, you know, it's like,
right.
Expose the fact that, you know, they're really supportive. And, yeah, I think for me, even talking to my family about it, you know, we had like the kitchen table moment where, you know, you just kind of share like what is happening. Yeah, I really think that they knew me and the approach that I would bring to it. And, that's my goal, to create content that supports, you know, the overall, it's just the renaissance of the plant, to give people just a different outlook on it.
Mm-hmm. Give them the truth about it is what it comes down to. If they've been lied to for so many years about the plant. So, that's why we do what we do. And, so you mentioned earlier that you're in Florida, Georgia, and Maryland. Is that correct? You offer your services in those three states.
Yeah, I run tests in those markets, you know, as they come online and we started identifying physicians. Yes, Florida, we began there, had a really interesting, use case where a patient had to have a bona fide relationship with a physician of like 90 days. And, you know, what we do is identify, you know, patients and put them, you know, in contact with physicians who can best support them. So naturally, you know, the doctors want to find, you know, qualified individuals who come in more knowledgeable about, you know, the overall state of, you know, medical cannabis versus a person who, you know, may come in with very little knowledge and, you know, not be fully aware of, you know, how to, you know, alter or move into an alternative state of medicating. Mm-hmm. So that's really the foundation of our business model. And, you know, we look to expand that in additional states, especially if we're starting to see just something every day, you know, like more physicians are being approved. You're seeing dispensaries running out of, medication, you know, so just all, you know, really good signs about, you know, the overall landscape of the market and how it's really opening up.
Treehab is by definition an ancillary business of the cannabis industry. So do you have plans for more ancillary businesses in this industry, maybe?
Well, we're ancillary today because I think we support a very important, you know, milestone in the industry in terms of us helping patients find doctors. So I think the opportunity there would potentially lead to more of like a transactional business model where we look into doing possibly e-commerce. You know, I would love to not necessarily get into, you know, dispensing, but there are other ancillary products that, you know, people in this market and in new markets really don't have access to. And we have really strong relationships with several brand partners all across the country. And of course, as laws are relaxing, you're beginning to see more businesses in the space open up in these emerging states. So our goal is to ultimately become this marketplace, where not only we're creating custom content, you know, but overall, you know, creating this network where, you know, individuals can find, you know, items that best support, you know, their medical cannabis journey.
Great. That is amazing. So how many employees does Treehab actually employ?
We're a team of four. We outsource some work, you know, the tech development. I mean, even using like, you know, some virtual assistants, although, you know, not everyone who we work with is an employee or team member. We've had, you know, several individuals who help develop the business and, you know, create a ecosystem of, you know, just high growth. So I'm really thankful for my network and, you know, always looking to add team members. You know, I know a lot of people have interest in the space and, you know, some people doing some really progressive, or putting some really, really progressive ideas together. And, I would love to, you know, work with other individuals as they have ideas as well.
Okay, great. So, I mean, you're not necessarily hiring right now, but you're still looking for individuals, for when you are ready to hire, or are you hiring right now?
Yeah, I'm hiring. I think I actually had that on my LinkedIn. A couple people reached out to me. Looking for developers, you know, always, identifying ways to create technology that, you know, builds like this moat around your business. I think that's really important, like proprietary technology, you know, as the industry continues to grow, I think it's, you know, becoming more competitive. And I think this is the point where we really build a business that's not easily replicated. Looking for development, you know, sales, market, just the most talented people, you know, that's the type of thing.
And the best way to do that, to reach out to you, would be through your LinkedIn page, if you're interested in working with Trehab.
Well, I am on LinkedIn. People can find me on LinkedIn, or they could just, you know, call you.
Okay.
I'll take a call if you recommend me.
Okay, sounds good. That's fair enough. I understand. Good work is hard to find, so you definitely want a good reference. So what is your goal, your ultimate goal? What is your 5-year outlook for Trehab?
Well, it's very rewarding that we've been able to help our patients. Some of them are very sick, you know, a lot of our customers at the end of life. So it's very rewarding to, you know, have a business that creates a service to, you know, help people. Although, you know, a lot of people we work with have, you know, more mundane health concerns, you know, it is very beneficial and rewarding to know that, you know, we're providing, you know, just a service that's seeing immediate demand. So we definitely want to continue to grow into other markets. You know, we feel, within the next 5 years, you'll see, you know, just a more, expansive, ecosystem, you know, just this massive network of, you know, people who, you know, have come to cannabis for health and wellness. You know, we want to be responsible for introducing this, you know, new wave of patients to the market. You know, I think statistically there are close to 200 million, potential patients that suffer from, you know, ailments that have been proven to be treated with cannabis use. And our hypothesis is that a larger portion of that market has really, you know, begin to identify themselves. So, you know, we want to be the biggest customer acquisition platform, in the cannabis industry. And, that's my goal.
That's awesome. I hope to be a part of helping you reach that goal, to be quite honest. A cannabis user for medicinal purposes, this type of platform is life-changing. Everybody that I've encountered over the last year does not necessarily have access to this information, and they go about trying to find the best route to get their medicine, whether it's buying an isolate CBD at a gas station because it's sold there, or they have to go to shady places or shady people to try to get access to the flower because that's the only thing that they know. So I know that the patients in this space are very grateful for you. So do you have any advice for future entrepreneurs trying to come into the cannabis space? What is some advice that you might give them, or your younger self?
Well, my advice would be not to compete with me. I am hiring. So if you have ideas, you can bring them to me. I'm still figuring it out. I'm still venturing through the space. I mean, I think it's just very early, you know, the cannabis industry, although we know, you know, people have been using weed for years. The fact is that, you know, the legal cannabis industry has, you know, only been around for a short period of time. So people are still figuring it out. You know, it's very, very early stage. So, you know, I think if you look back at other, you know, high growth industries like, you know, mobile and social media, you know, those things had their infancy as well. And, you know, it's just all about who can provide the best service. And that's what I'm hoping to do. So, yeah, again, people have ideas, bring them to me.
How and what is the best way to reach out to you, maybe if they have a question, not necessarily for employment, but, you know, maybe just to ask a question or look for some advice, maybe. What's the best route to reach you? Your social media or email address?
Yeah, well, the website, treehab.co, it's
okay.
Just treehab.co, is the site. And we've got, you know, some really exciting development happening on the website. I think it's going to be extremely interactive. So, you know, everything that a patient would need, you know, they'll be able to find it there on the site. You know, the email's listed there as well. You know, you just send a note. We normally review, you know, the emails as a team. So, you know, if there are questions, we'll try our best to, you know, get a quick response.
Okay, great. Well, thank you again, Brandon, for joining us on this episode of Cannabis Connection World. You've enlightened us on a great growing business in the cannabis industry. And we're very grateful. Patients and doctors alike are grateful for having a resource like this, that you've provided, safe access for patients. So thank you.
Thanks again, Brandon, for coming on the Cannabis Connection World podcast. Thank you for starting Treehab, Inc. Your business is so important to the patients you serve, and because you provide access to physicians, allowing them to be treated with the medicine they need, we thank you.
Cannabis Connection Calendar, informing you where and how to connect with other cannabis enthusiasts like you.
Welcome to Cannabis Connection Calendar, the segment where I share with you some of the events that are happening within the state of Georgia concerning the cannabis industry. Whether directly or indirectly, the events I discuss have an effect on Georgia's cannabis community. Please note that all events are normally free and open to everyone unless I otherwise specify. First up is the monthly Minorities for Medical Marijuana meeting, beginning at 7 p.m. On this Tuesday, March 27th, we will meet at Mango's Restaurant, located at 180 Auburn Avenue, downtown Atlanta. Please visit www.m4mmunited.org to learn more about how to become a member. Your membership in our organization has numerous benefits, but to me, the most valuable benefit is having access to our chapters all over the country. Our mission is to educate and elevate our community in this global cannabis industry. This event is free and open to the public. On Thursday, March 29th, beginning at 7 p.m. at Bar 142, located at 142 Mitchell Street, downtown Atlanta, myself along with several other partners, Indativa and Blue Dream Industries, will host Taking Action to Legalize Cannabis, a networking event that will teach you about the law in Georgia and some of the ancillary businesses that have already established themselves in the state. Please visit www.meetup.com/Indativa-Atlanta. So Indativa is spelled I-N-D as in dog, A as in apple, T as in Tom, I as in ice cream, V as in Victor, A as in apple, dash Atlanta. For more information and to RSVP for the event, this event is free and open to the public. On Friday, March 30th, join me for cocktails and conversations, an HIV/AIDS awareness party. This will be my first time speaking at an HIV event since my diagnosis last March. The event will be hosted at the Philip Rush Center, located at 1530 DeKalb Avenue in Atlanta. Beginning at 7 p.m., we will celebrate the life of HIV advocate Marva Miller. This is a ticketed event, and you must be over 21 in order to attend. Purchase your ticket at Eventbrite and search for The Glow Party ATL. On Monday, April 2nd, I will be one of the panelists at the Black Law Students Association in Georgia State's College of Law Marijuana Legalization Forum. This event will be located on the school's campus beginning at 5 p.m. For more information, please contact me directly at info@cannabisconnectionworld.com. This is also a free event and open to the public. On April 16th, I will be speaking at the Justice Rally, being hosted by Students for Sensible Drug Policy. I'll have more details on this event which will be located on the University of Georgia's campus coming up soon. And then Friday, April 20th, Cannabis Connection World and Minorities for Medical Marijuana will host the Women of Cannabis event in Atlanta at 7 p.m. Please visit my website to buy tickets at www.cannabisconnectionworld.com. And thank you so much to our partners, Indativa and Blue Dream Industries. We are so excited to bring you this empowering, learning, networking event to Atlanta. And don't forget, Cannabis Connectors, this month we are filming everywhere we go. So make sure you come dressed to impress. And thanks again, all of you, for joining me on this episode of Cannabis Connection World. I hope by sharing my own personal story that it gives you the strength to tell your own journey. Please reach out to me if you would like to come on the show to tell your cannabis journey. If you have any questions about the show today, please email me at info@cannabisconnectionworld.com. Looking forward to hearing from you. Don't forget, Cannabis Connectors, you can follow all the adventures of the podcast on Instagram at Cannabis Connection Podcast or on Facebook at Mary Jane Connectors, that's with an S on the end, or on Twitter at CannaCon World. That's CannaConn World. Thanks for joining me on another episode of Cannabis Connection World. Next episode, we will learn whether or not House Bill 764 passes, and we will speak with gubernatorial candidate Clay Tippins about his idea of cannabis expansion in the state if he is elected governor. We will also discuss more of the events that will be happening on 420 right here in the ATL. New episode every Sunday on Podomatic.com and Stitcher Podcast. You don't want to miss it.